welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're here giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. Streaming live at richarddugan.com at those times on this fine station, as well as providing you with the podcasts. And the podcasts are available both on the homepage of richarddugan.com as well as the radio shows page. We are also on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, we are hopefully going to expand that in the not-too-distant future. But we're on a couple of the number one or at least top-rated podcasting locations. We certainly hope that you will investigate. And especially considering the fact that many times the interviews run much longer than what you hear on the radio, you might want to just check out the podcast and get all the information that's available to you here on Tell Me Your Story. And it is available, of course, through these different methods. Also, if you like what we're doing, if this resonates with you, and you'd like to support the work we're doing, we do have a PayPal account set up for you to do that. We are grateful for everybody who has up to this point supported this program financially. We take energetic support as well, so we're not picky in that regard, but it certainly helps financially to keep things moving forward, and we're very grateful for that. So, my gosh, almost, what is it, 11, 12, almost 12 years? Good night, nurse, I tell you. And I can't tell you how much fun I have doing these programs, meeting these new wonderful people, and learning about so many different aspects to changing the world and making this a better place. And today is no exception. I made the comment to her when I first got her on Skype, and I think that's a good way to start. We're going to have a scavenger hunt today because we're going to be searching for To Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. And we are talking with Ani Anderson. I thank you so much for joining us via Skype here on the program. This is great to have you with us. I'm very excited about what we have to share today.
As am I. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Now, you and your husband, you folks have been working together for some time. You have your own organization, your own company, the work that the two of you are working together on. But how did you come to this space where we are today talking about this in 2019? And quite honestly, this kind of touches on the aspect of that we talk about on this program about one's life's purpose. Is an agenda has an interesting connotation to it in our modern day, you know. Oh, he's got an agenda, she's got an agenda. Well, I had one gentleman tell me everybody has an agenda, and maybe in a manner of speaking that is true. You know, some of us are seeking money, we're seeking position, we're seeking power, we're seeking control in some way, shape, or form, greater or lesser. Some are just seeking love. Some are just seeking acceptance, appreciation, et cetera, et cetera. Would those be classified as agendas?
Yeah, I think so. I think those would be classified as personal agendas. So my curiosity on this scavenger hunt is, is your personal agenda in collaboration with your soul's agenda?
Ah. So how do we find out what our soul's agenda is? That sounds obviously very esoteric and somewhat non-tangible. And again, it sounds similar, but not quite like trying to find one's life's purpose.
Yeah, it is very similar. And for some people, it's the same thing. So, and it does sound kind of esoteric, but we've made it very practical. So the exercise To Find Your Soul Agenda is a process that we take people through in the book. It's a memory recapitulation process. We're looking at three different aspects of life that I think really help a person to encompass a holistic view of their life. So we're looking at childhood, we're looking at your professional life, and we're looking at your personal life.
Okay.
So we do some memory recapitulation in those areas, asking, what are your best memories? What are just the memories that feel like just the best to you? And We use that terminology, Richard, because for some people, the best is the happiest memories. But for some people, the best isn't those things that we would describe as the happiest memories. They're things like divorces or death or, you know, things that we wouldn't typically think of as the best, but they just, you know, really feel like they meant so much to a person's life. So anyway, we do that memory recapitulation process, and then we dive deeper into those memories and we ask what felt qualities are associated with those memories. And what we're really looking for, ideally, are one word or short phrases. And when we do this process like this, when we start picking down into the feeling qualities, we really are getting very practical. So we are looking at, you know, what could be this, gosh, this was the best memory and I don't even know how to describe what it meant to me, to let's get some real words down here and talk about what it meant to you. So we get those words that usually is a pretty big list depending on the person. And then we go two by two and we start an elimination round where we really start to get down to which words are the most meaningful, which words really are the words that just feel like me. And we get down to hopefully one word, and that word becomes the sole agenda word. Sometimes people have a handful of words or just a few words that they get down to that can be summarized in a short phrase. We would call those the sole agenda words, but most people get down to one word, and that one word, you know, as we talk a little bit more here, we'll understand, but really summarizes for a person who they are. And so for certain people, when they're talking about purpose, they're talking about what should I do with my life. But I like to talk about purpose from a place of who am I, because in that way, the doing, the things that we choose to do, really do arise naturally. So that's a bit of the soul agenda process.
Okay.
Real quick there.
And it sounds to me like, as far as the subtitle, the one word that will make your whole life a success isn't a single word for everyone, that each individual searches for and finds that one word for themselves. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. That one word will be a word for you. So sometimes when I do these interviews, people want to know what the word is for everybody, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tell us what the word is. I can't. Sorry. I can't because the word is unique. And part of the reason that this matters so much is because as human beings, we are unique. And we're all one. So how do we reconcile that? And we reconcile that by recognizing that we are all energy and we are all connected, but we all have this unique, you know, people call it different things, right? God spark, or they would call it purpose, or, you know, something unique. It is that somethingness that's unique about each individual. And that's what the word is really pointing to. It's really pointing to your unique energy. And that one word, because we live in a world of duality, is expressed, well, in duality. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be expressed in the light and the dark aspects of oneself. So that's really what the soul's agenda is getting to. Like, the soul has this agenda to live in this world of duality and to experience life in its duality. And sometimes it kind of feels like life has an agenda with us. That's one of the reasons I like that word so much, because sometimes there really are times in life where it's hard to accept ourselves. It's hard to accept our life circumstances. And when we recognize that we're in this co-collaboration with life itself, sometimes it feels like life has an agenda for us. And that's okay.
Well, you know, what I find interesting is, at least for myself, and again, obviously, we only can speak for self. I always found that funny when I was working for a Christian radio station. I was there for 15 years. I have to be honest with you, that was a great education, and I got paid for that. They always talked about how, you know, it's a personal relationship, it's this, that, the other, you know, it's your life, and, you know, you will have to answer to God. But they were always passing judgment. And I'm going, wait a minute. This is my life. I'm the one who has to answer. Why do you care? Why does this matter to you? And, you know, you'd hear the comments. I mean, you're doing what you're doing because this is your life's purpose and very much your agenda at this point in your life, as is your husband's. But you're just putting it out there. You're not putting it on anybody. If they want it, we lay out a smorgasbord here on Tell Me Your Story, okay? And the table is getting bigger and bigger by the interview, right? And we encourage people to come to the table, and if they take a little, oh, that smells good. Or, that looks really good. I'm going to try some of that. Or, oh, that's disgusting. Look, I'm not. Then don't touch it. If you like it, go for it. If you don't like it, stay away from it. We're not telling you have to, and we're not going to sit here and go, there are children starving in Africa, so you need to eat it all. I mean, you know, so I always found that really humorous. And I even went off on a tangent once with one of the pastors there behind the scenes. I says, you know, you say that at the end of all this, I'm going to have to stand before God. Well, I'm ready. And when I do, I'm going to sit there and say, look, I did the very best with the life you gave me. Okay. All right. And there isn't anything I can do to change your mind because the life is over. Okay?
Yeah.
The life is done, and I've done what I can do. And if I haven't measured up, there's nothing I can do to tell you, say, don't send me to hell, you know? and then the other side of it was, and then the other thing is, you created everything, okay? Me and the entire universe. And you're omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Ergo, you knew how this was going to turn out. So I hate to say this, but this is on you, okay? You want to send someone? I'm not going to say it, but that was where I was then, and today it's a question of not getting distracted by the outside forces, if you will, that are just constantly bombarding us. And do you find that in your work, in working with people in this regard to try to help define their soul's purpose and their soul's agenda, that a lot of folks? It's like they know intuitively and internally, but they keep getting, you know, hit with all this distraction, as the Hindus call it, the Maya, the illusion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that, will you?
Yeah, we call it keeping your eyes on your own paper.
I like that.
And part of the reason we say it like that is because it's funny, and we can remember times like that from school. Mm-hmm. But it's really true. Keep your eyes on your own paper. We're all here doing our work, and everybody is doing different things in their lives. And this idea that some people are more progressed or not more progressed or whatever gets us off track. Like you said, there are so many distractions. If we can just remember that everybody's doing their stuff and we can keep our eyes on our own paper, I mean, not only will we be more content and satisfied and joyful, but we'll be able to keep stepping forward. It is those distractions that really throw us off course. So, yeah, when you know your soul agenda word, that's one of the ways that you can really keep your eyes on your own paper. Because as we make decisions every day, we make a lot of decisions. I think this statistic is something like an average of 35,000 decisions a day. As we make decisions every day, we have the capacity to make a decision from our place or from somebody else's place, like you were saying. So where are you making decisions from? Are you making decisions from you and your place? Or are you making decisions from somebody else's place? What you see in the media or what your parents taught you to believe or what society says or what the preacher says? Or, you know, there's so many different places to fall into that trap. I think that's really important to think about.
There's a, I have to say, I have to tell you this. You know who Woody Allen is?
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do stand-up. And many, many years ago, I came across a double album of, and I put it on reel and what have you. And there's a great joke in there that ties into this. He says, I was in college, and I was taking metaphysics 101, and I was kicked out of class because during a test, I looked into the soul of the kid next to me. and I thought, okay. But that's really what we end up doing sometimes. And you and your husband, as I say, the two of you are working in tandem, although you are the author of this particular work. And by the way, folks, this is Ani Anderson. She has written Find Your Soul's Agenda. This is Ani's work, okay? Right? This is Ani, okay? Find Your Soul's Agenda. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for anybody else. Now, that's not to say that it doesn't, but isn't that kind of what you're saying, too, that we have to find our own way? And again, if it resonates with the listener who's listening now, pick up a copy, go to the website, what have you. And if it doesn't, then don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that smorgasbord you were talking about. If you're looking at it and saying, ooh, that's gross, then you're not going to taste it. But how often do we see something that we want to taste and we don't? I think that's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like we see it float by our awareness and we think, wow, that's really interesting. And then we don't actually take action or we don't actually check it out or something. And that's fascinating to me. I mean, that was me in my life for a long time. And still I find myself bumping up against that from time to time.
Yeah. It raises some interesting additional questions in that, and this goes, again, it goes back to that wonderful period, I'll call it, I don't know why I don't want to call it a sabbatical necessarily, but it certainly was my education in comparative religions, if you will, okay, for 15 years working in broadcasting, but at the same time, I'm learning about all of these different sects of Christianity, among others. And they always used to say there's only one way. And I thought, wait a minute, I can eat, as we talked about the smorgasbord table, anything I want. I mean, there are millions of unbelievable combinations of things. And then, of course, the same thing with drink, career, relationships, education, job, where I want to live. The list goes on. And then I hear, but there's only one way to God. And I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And so what we're trying to do, of course, with Tell Me Your Story here, Ani, is to share all of these different ideas, because I also talk about how I may or may not agree with everything that you say on the program or in the book or at your website, but you're offering people an opportunity. And some people refuse to take the opportunity because of their beliefs. How do you break through, let me rephrase that. How do you help someone to break through their beliefs, maybe long held? You know, they may be young and it's it's early on, or they could be in their 70s or 80s and they've held onto these beliefs all their lives. But they've also, something inside them, they've met you or they've heard this interview or an interview you've done, and they say, yeah, I know there's more, but my beliefs are, and I can't go against my family and the, you know, and so forth. How do you help someone in that regard?
Yeah, and a lot of times people don't even know what their beliefs are, is the interesting thing. They just feel that longing or desire or itch or something like that to know more or to learn more, or maybe they even get rubbed the wrong way at first and they're thinking, no, I don't even want to know. I don't want to know more about this, but they just can't get it out of their head. You know, I think that's really interesting, because whether you know what your belief is or you don't, the fact is those thoughts are associated with sensations. We can't actually pick apart and delineate the difference between the thoughts and sensations, because when we have a thought, we have muscular firing and sensory experiences with that thought, even if it's very, very subtle. And when we have a sensory experience, we have thoughts associated with that sensory experience, even if they're very, very subtle. So when we help people to break through their beliefs, we actually help them to unravel those beliefs by tapping into their sensory experience, because the sensory data is actually the raw data of the nervous system. When we can tap into that raw data, we can begin to unravel the beliefs, like you've got a thread on your sweater that you're going to pull. Whereas sometimes if it's just the beliefs and we're trying to enter in from the thought processes, it can be very difficult to find that strand to pull, to unravel.
Well, and that's kind of what can happen, is that it may look just like that. You know, don't pull that thread because the whole blanket's going to come apart. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we have to, keep our eyes on. And hopefully we can, we can do that.
And we fear that, too.
And we fear it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we do. And it's one of those things that eventually we may very well come to understand. I myself have felt, I don't know about you, but I have felt that I have been in the right place at the right time most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's true or not is yet to be seen. But needless to say, that's kind of where my life is. So I'm wondering if there's some way that we can let's back this up. If I'm going to begin the scavenger hunt, what's one of the first steps that someone who's listening, yeah, their beliefs are kind of in the way, but where do I start? I mean, certainly picking up mm-hmm. a copy of your book, going to your website, findyoursoulsagenda.com is one way. But they're listening to this interview and they'd like to get a kickstart mm-hmm. Before they get to the website and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would encourage people to look at what bothers them, what irks them, what creates tension or frustration for them. I think that's the way to start. And oftentimes we think that that's where we need to run from, but it's the door, it's the entryway. And so, oftentimes when people find me and we start having a conversation, what they're really upset about is that they have negativity or negative emotions in their life. And I always relate that that's a good thing, that they can become aware of that, because, like I just said, that's the entryway. When we can become aware of what it is that's bothering us and actually allow ourselves to be with it, I mean, I didn't even say go into it. When we can allow ourselves to be with it, bring awareness to the thoughts that we're thinking, bring awareness to the sensations that we're feeling in our bodies. You know, sometimes that's all it takes. To be perfectly honest, I've seen it happen. Sometimes that's all it takes, is to be present with ourselves in those moments. Now, sometimes, as you say, these things have longer tentacles. They need some more work and they need some more, it's like knowledge, right? You need some more skill. You need some more knowledge so that you can unravel the tentacles and really feel more free. But the way to begin is with the negativity or the negative emotions that you experience.
The negative emotions versus positive emotions. And you, of course, you used the term duality earlier too. This whole aspect of duality has frustrated me to no end. not in terms of dealing with the specifics of the balancing act, but the question of why. Why are we doing this to ourselves? All of the ancient wisdom teachings that I have read, and I've read quite a few, say we came from the One. Uh-huh. All right? And we're going to the One. So why are we doing this? Why? And then there's the other aspect of it, and this is more on a sort of a metaphysical level. There is no duality in the universe. Meaning, if you look at the cosmos, and I use this example a lot, and you watch the various astronomical elements moving around, okay, whether it's spinning in a galaxy or you've got, you know, that thing that New Horizon took a picture of, that thing's moving through space, right? One day it's going to collide into something, right? It's most likely going to bash into something. Hopefully not us, but however, when it does, that's just what happens. Uh-huh. That's just the universe. And so when we bring that down to the microcosmic level, when I say that, I'm talking about the planet Earth and us as human beings. The things that are happening around us are just what happens, or some would say, well, it's just life. That's just mm-hmm. life. Predator, prey in the animal kingdom. It's not predator, prey. It's just life. There is no duality. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to come to grips with that? Or I was going to say, how have you mastered that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the one of the interesting things here is that positive and negative, right and wrong, all of that stuff is a judgment call. So how can we get to a place where we really do feel and understand and know that oneness that you're talking about? And it's been my experience through my own life and also working with clients that the way that you get there can be, it isn't always, but it can be through contrast. So it's like, here's an example. I don't love Indian food. I actually love to eat, but Indian food usually is a little spicy for me. But mm-hmm. I didn't know that I didn't like Indian food until I tasted it. And then I said, oh, yeah, this is a little too spicy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So now when somebody says, where do you want to go to eat? I don't say Indian food. You know, I know it just doesn't agree with me so much. So I know that because I learned through contrast. I learned through trying it and understanding that it's not that Indian food is bad. Indian food's awesome. And for some people, it's their favorite kind of food, but not for me. So I learned that through trying it. And I learned that through contrast. And so there are many, many things in life that we're going to learn through contrast, through trying things or through having life happen and having us say, well, I didn't like that, that we get to know that, you know, our unique preferences. And when we internalize that to really make meaning of ourselves or life because of how we feel about those things, I think that's more where we get caught up. And I think it really has to do a lot with how we were raised too, like what kind of upbringing we had, because when we were raised with families or parents or caregivers who had very strong judgments and lots of rules, it can be hard to free ourselves from the belief that, you know, it's okay for life to just be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so for some people too, their constitutional tendencies or, you know, we could also say personalities, but how their minds think, you know, it's just because of who they are a person who is more likely to want rules and structure. Some people are just like that. And I think for those people, it becomes a little bit more difficult to be in this place where it's not black and white, it's gray or it's rainbow colored instead of black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I know that there are people who are teaching about how to overcome, if you will, or how to balance. One of the techniques I had heard some years ago was that it's life is like a pendulum swinging back and forth. And there isn't anything you can do about the pendulum. What you can do is shinny up the pendulum from the lowest part where that's swinging extreme from one end to the other. Work your way up to the pivot point where now all you're doing is you're just pivoting and you can become more of the observer. And I'm thinking, I want to get off the pendulum, you know, it's like, stop the world. I want to get off, you know, it is one of those things that can be very frustrating for folks, but I'm wondering too, if maybe that's part of the process of enlightenment, if you will, or becoming, self-realized or actualized as the phrases are from different sources, that, as you begin that process, similar to, the Buddha finding enlightenment when he stopped looking for it, that we can actually find that. And we've been using this word of late. We can find that equanimity in life, you know, without having to leave it, without having to force change on anyone else or ourselves. Just finding that place that feels good. Without going into the long drawn out story, I now am I'm the proud owner of a rather large truck. It's a Ford F-150. It's a pretty good sized truck. Never had one before, never drove one before, never wanted to because they were so big. And, you know, I don't want to do any damage with this thing. This thing is huge, right? And every time I think about how much it costs, both overall as well as the monthly payments and the insurance and so forth and the gas, I still feel really good. I love it because I'm having a great time with it, you know? And it's like, I just feel, it's like, it's this is what I'm supposed to have right now. And this is where I'm supposed to be. How I got there is a whole other thing. I won't go into it. But I know that a lot of people, they sometimes they have that those moments. So anytime I get into some other moment where I'm not real comfortable here, someone says, well, then you need to think about how you felt, how you feel about your truck and bring that feeling to mm-hmm. that thing that's making you feel a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about transference, I guess is what it's called, of a sort, transferring that kind of feeling to those new experiences? Like, you know, trying Indian food, you didn't mm-hmm. think you'd like it. And I got to tell you, I love tandoori chicken, and I also love the naan, the bread. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's pretty good.
Now, that's good stuff. That's not spicy.
That's good stuff. No.
Well, what do you think about that, transferring those feelings in that respect? Because we tend to do the same thing with bad feelings, if you will.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that can be an important way to modify our sensory experience when we have an intellectual understanding of how we want to change, but we haven't been able to get ourselves there. So we can, I say, use anything you can, use anything that works for you, right? So if we know that the sensory experience is important to changing our beliefs, so if you can transfer the sensory experience from one thing to another in order to help yourself, then use it. That actually really aligns with and goes with the natural laws of the universe to be able to do that in your life. You know, the natural laws are working on us, with us all the time. And when we can become aware of them and embody them and engender them, like you're talking about with using the sensory experience for one thing to another thing, I think that's super smart.
Mm. You have available, and actually the website I want to send people to is actually your website, which you can get through two different ways. Either you can go to findyoursoulsagenda.com or Ani Anderson, A-N-I-A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, AniAnderson.com. In addition to being able to purchase a copy of the book, you also have a workbook that's available for folks that you can, it includes all of the insight questions as well as Find Your Soul's Agenda process from the book, plus much more. And folks mm-hmm. can go to this, your website. They just, you know, it's very simple, your name and your email, so they can send you the link and off you go. And you can begin the process even now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we decided to do it this way because some people just want to fast track and they just want to do the exercises and go for it. And you know, everybody has a different level of understanding about this work and things. The book really describes a lot of background information to make sure that people are successful with the process. It also has a lot of insight questions in it, like the workbook does, but it has background information. I'm a big proponent in skill building. And I think in order to build skills, we need to have an intellectual understanding about things. So it was really important to me to include the skill building information, that background information in the book, so that people can have lots of success with it. Some people just want to, you know, look at the insight questions and go for the process. And that's what the workbook's about.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're also involved, along with your husband, in what is called sensation-based mindset coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've actually been talking about it the whole time.
No.
This idea about how our sensory experience is, gosh, you know, I'm going to say important. It's not just important. It's a part of mindset. It blows me away that not more people are talking about it or understand it. A lot of times when people talk about mindset, they're really just talking about the thoughts that we think, but we're missing a big piece of the equation, because if we think that the mind only lives between our two ears and the brain, then we're missing a huge part of our intelligence. Can I say that again? Huge. You know, we're missing so much. The whole body is unbelievably intelligent. And so when we're looking for questions answered in our lives, when we're looking for how we can, whatever it is, you know, feel more content, have better relationships, have better health, have more success, even have more money, honestly, whatever it is in life, if we're using our whole intelligence by looking at not just the thoughts, but also the sensory experience and how we're using that as a mindset, you know, it just opens up so many doors. It's really very holistic view of the mind.
Well, I know that's very important, too, because it is a part of who we are. And a lot of folks, they, especially when it comes to discussing meditation, you know, they want to shut it out. They want to shut it off. They want to get rid of it, that kind of thing, because it gets in the way of my meditation. And I can't. And as the phrase goes, I can't turn off the monkey mind or the chatter or what have you. But it is, and I've often suggested, well, why don't you do this rather than trying to push it away at arm's length? Make friends with it and say, look, I need a little time here, 20 minutes, half an hour. In the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. give me this time here, okay? I'll come back. Don't worry. We'll reconnect and we'll have a great time and so forth, but just give me this time to just go where I need to go. I need to listen. I need to listen. You know, and then I'll share it with you, you know, kind of thing. And make it a part of the process. Make your mind a part of the process rather than, because my feeling is, I don't know if this is true or not. My feeling, though, is that even if you aren't able to, the thoughts and or whatever comes through your mind at the time you're trying to meditate or you're trying to, you know, focus, they're coming in there for a reason. You know, it's I don't think that it's necessarily just a bunch of random stuff. I don't believe in coincidences. However, I do believe in coincidences.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And so what about that in terms of allowing our minds, because we were given these incredible computers to process information and to solve problems and to create and so forth. How do we begin that process of incorporating?
Yeah, this is actually resonates really strongly with me and my personal story. I had meditated for a many number of years and was studying with the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh. So I was going to Dharma circles and Sangha every week. And eventually, after a number of years was studying with my meditation instructor, I said to her, you know, I'm really frustrated and embarrassed to say this, but I can't sit and stop my mind from chattering. And she smiled and laughed and said, that's not the point. And honestly, I didn't really like that answer, because one of the reasons I was meditating was so I could get some peace and quiet from my mental chatter. And so I continued searching about this because I did like to sit, and yes, I got it. You know, I understood about witnessing, but I really was also looking for some peace and quiet. So it wasn't until I started doing moving meditations that I was able to find more quietude, quiescence in the mind. And I understand why, or I understood why when I was taught, because I was moving the body, my mind could be quiet. Because I was focusing on the movement of my body, my mind could be quiet. And I've got to be honest with you, that's really what I was looking for. So my mind goes all the time, constantly. And I'm actually fairly good. I was always fairly good at watching it or witnessing it. So once I started to do the moving meditation, I was able to get a little bit of quiet. My witnessing did improve quite a bit. It did improve quite a bit. And so I took that concept, and this was really along the same time frame as we started to develop sensation-based mindset and really started to look at how we could make daily life kind of that meditative experience where I am present with myself, I'm present with my mind, meaning my thoughts and my body and my sensations, and I can witness myself during daily life. Not just when I'm sitting on the cushion. For me, in the way that I was able to embody more of a meditative life stance, it really makes sitting much more pleasurable for me now. I think it's because I'm just more mindful all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, again, we're all looking for and trying to find that space. I remember years ago, I thought, you know, if I could just find that one spot on the planet no one's ever been, just to get away from everybody and do this and that and the other thing, you know. And then it dawned on me that if I could find that place, that physical place on the planet, so could everybody else.
Yeah.
So that wasn't an answer. And what was nice was I found that out before I began searching, you know.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me, and what's really funny is I've been a metaphysician since I was 17, searching, as we all are, and I actually came to the realization, and I had to laugh at my realization, because it's like, my God, you've read all of this stuff, you've interviewed all these people, and you're just now realizing that the only place no one else can get to is inside.
How novel.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. Profound, right? I mean, how many people wander around wondering that all their lives and actually are taking planes and going places looking for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that I don't love to travel. I mean, my wife and I, we've been to Ireland and loved it, and been there twice, and I'd actually like to move. I've only been there twice, spent the entirety of our two vacations there would encompass a month, 4 weeks. I would move there today. I really would.
Nice.
And there are other places I've seen, and yet at the same time, those aren't necessarily places that, again, that's not the place where I'm going to go and, you know, find inner peace. It's going to be the inner journey, as we've talked about. We're going to continue talking, as a matter of fact, as we continue talking about Find Your Soul's Agenda. Ani Anderson is my guest here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. So are you as a listener, and we ask you to stay with us here.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World with Ani Anderson. We're talking about her latest work, Find Your Soul's Agenda. You can go to anianderson.com. A-N-I, that's how you spell Ani. And Ani, thank you so much for staying with us here on the program. And this is, to me, this is very interesting because in spite of, I've often talked about how words have power. And in spite of the fact that you have two words out of your four-word title that they can elicit all kinds of different reactions from people, soul, you know, you're getting religious now, and, you know, an agenda, you know, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we all do. And I mean, because we're all seeking something. And well, my agenda is to find some answers. And of course, the beautiful thing about finding answers, and to me, it's not a paradox because it's a wonderful process, is that when I find answers to these questions, oh, guess what? New questions. And I get to go find more answers. I was actually watching a television program, and a medical examiner in this particular department's morgue, who has been doing it for a long, long time, like 30, 40 years, and loves doing it, and is very scientific, very intellectual, and so forth, and says that it is like a puzzle, you know. And I'm not trying to convict or anything. I don't care what happens to the person. I'm trying to find the truth. You know, and that's kind of what we're trying to do here by putting all of these different pieces together. What are some of the, and you've probably touched on some of them. I'm curious, what are some of the truths that you have found in your journey in finding your own soul's agenda?
Yeah, I think that for me, truth really comes back to understanding the laws of the universe. You know, I was really confused about that idea of truth before I started to learn about the laws of the universe. And then once I started to study them, I could find truth more and more every day in every situation. Once we understand the laws of the universe, then those are the things that are, they're omnipresent, they're consistent, same for everybody, unconditional. That then I started to be able to see my personal truth. I started to be able to see the larger truth, because we've got that idea too, right? The little truth that's my truth, and the big truth that's the truth for everything. So that's really, for me, where my own journey went, to be able to understand truth more in depth. And I said, you could just keep learning and learning and studying and studying with natural law.
Well, that's the one interesting paradox I have found in terms of the laws of the universe, and I kind of expound on some that I have found. But I also find it interesting, especially when it comes to science, when they claim to have found, you know, all of the laws of physics or quantum physics, you know, and then next year they find a new one. And, okay,
something else.
Yeah, something else. Okay, now we found it all, you know, and it's like there are 10 billion laws. You found six and you think you've got, you know, you've got it all. But yeah. we do it in the same context. We as spiritual seekers, you and I and others, you know, we do kind of do the same kind of thing. And then we'll write a book about it. And this is the end all and the be all and end all. And then something comes along and says, oh, wait a minute. There's another piece. I need to write another book. And that's okay. That's okay.
We're constantly expanding. You know, I just was at the Natural History Museum in New York City with my family over the holidays, and we went to the Hayden Planetarium and saw Dark Universe, and they were talking about how the universe is always expanding. And I think that, yeah, of course it is. And that's what's happening for us too. So there's always going to be something new and fun to explore, which I think I'm hearing from you is exciting for you, and it's exciting for me. There's always something new to explore. I think that's great. You know, that concept of we're never there is really kind of wonderful if you're looking at it from a scavenger hunt kind of perspective.
Yeah. And the other aspect of it, too, is that if we can, it was actually said to me in my either late teens or early 20s, it is better to begin in doubt and end in certainty than it is to begin in certainty and end in doubt.
And I love that.
And that really has resonated with me over the years that, and this is epitomized in a conversation I had with one of my dear sisters who is, I think she still is. I haven't kept up with her religious affinities, who at the time anyway was part of a very, very rigid, very structured belief system. And she was sharing how she was worried about my soul, worried about my eternal salvation and so forth, and my beliefs. And I said, well, what you don't understand is that my beliefs of yesterday are not my beliefs of today, are not my beliefs of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm constantly experiencing and learning and so on and so forth. And you know, I mean, life, I mean, why do we go to school to become educated? Well, what do we call that process? Not just education. We call it intellectual evolution.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't you have spiritual evolution? You know, I mean, I've joked with a lot of Bible believing evangelical fundamentalist, et cetera, and I say, oh, no, evolution? Yeah, I believe in God, and I believe in evolution. I believe God invented evolution.
Yeah, right.
Okay? How about that? And no disrespect to anybody, but the fact of the matter is that the other aspect, too, is that if we were all intended to live solitary lives, I know there are enough planets in the universe for each one of us to occupy. 7.6 mm-hmm. billion, I'm sure there are 7.6 billion life-sustaining planets. But guess what? What's the reality? All 7.6 billion of us are right here. So mm-hmm. what that says to me is we're supposed to be working together.
Yeah.
Playing together, having a good time, enjoying life, the life that we've been given. Or, and again, I've said this before, I don't know whether I created myself. Maybe I did. but all I know is this is the life that I have. And again, you know, in the end, if there is that judgment day, hey, I did the best I could, but you know what? It's on you.
Yeah, I totally love this idea. It makes so much sense to me. I'm in your camp, you know, like God's the person that the person, but God created evolution. Like, hello, it's yeah. That's what we're doing here. I believe that's what we're doing here. We're expanding, we're evolving, and we're evolving in all ways. Like you said, we're so of course we are. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. Yes.
Yeah. And it is something, too, that by the same token, I don't want to sit here and start spouting things off and saying, this is the way that it is, and that's the way that it is, because that's what I found from all of these other ancient wisdom teachings and da-da-da-da, and you need to follow this, you know? It's like, I don't have the right to undermine someone else's beliefs. That's not my goal. That is not my goal.
Absolutely. It's not the point for me. I think, like you said, about us all being here on one planet and we have the capacity to enjoy ourselves, we have the capacity to really appreciate each other for our differences and really live into the light aspects of who we are so that we really can experience greater aspects of joy and satisfaction in our lives.
Yeah. Does the agenda for us, soul in this context here, an individual, does it change? I've often asked the question of people, you know, about their life's purpose, and they mm-hmm. some will say, well, today it's this, and tomorrow it could be something else. But is there something, and maybe that's where the one word comes in. I mean, for me, and I haven't even gone through your process, but I know that for me, the one word is service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, I'm here to serve, and I'm being you. It's like I've often said. You know, you want a list of questions about the interview, Anna? I don't have any. The universe mm-hmm. asks the questions. I'm just along for the ride. So mm-hmm. what about that as far as changing agenda throughout one's life?
Yeah, I actually talk about in the book how you're going to have to ask me that question in 30 years because at this point, I have done the process with quite a number of people, and some of them, I've been working with them for quite a number of years. I want to say the longest person at this point is 5. So I have not seen anybody change agendas. Nobody's changed soul agendas. Sometimes people think it's changed, mm-hmm. but it hasn't. And part of the interesting thing about this is the way that we describe the soul's agenda is in the holistic view, looking at the light aspects of how I love to feel about life and the polar aspects of how I don't love to feel about life. And when we see somebody say, I think that I'm transitioning agendas, when we really look at that, what's happening is they're running away from some aspect of growth that's in their polar aspect they don't really want to acknowledge. Mm. That's what's happening. And so when we bring their attention to it, they can dive deeper into it and they see that they actually still have the same agenda. So, you know, yeah, so check with me in 30 years, but it's been my experience that it really lasts a long time. It's more of a redefining. So for you, for example, with service, in 5 years from now, service might have a different flavoring for you, but that's more of a how you would describe service, because as you evolve and as you grow, you're going to have different, like you were talking about with religious preferences. You're going to have a different way of describing what service means. You're going to have more depth with the meaning and understanding of that word. And so I have seen people's definitions of their word evolve and become more refined, but I've not seen the agenda change.
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's very cool. Yeah. I find it interesting too that as we move through life, you know, we come across all kinds of different people. And it's been said, and I'm curious as to your experience in this regard, that the people that we come in contact with, and it could be fleeting. I mean, I was walking back to work one afternoon after lunch, and this gentleman was walking toward me carrying this book, and I couldn't make out the title. But there was some recognition between the two of us. We'd never met before. I knew this. And yet we stopped and we chatted for a few minutes. I queried him about his book, which was interesting, interesting concept. Chatted a little bit more, blah, blah, blah. Said our good afternoons. Thanks. Hey, it's been great talking with you. Hope we see you again. And off we went. I haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
And it's been said that these kinds of contacts, as well as the longer lasting ones, for example, with parents and siblings, these are all, shall we say, individuals that they are in our cluster, if you will, of existence. They are our brothers and our sisters, even the parents that we come across. They are they are entities that we associate with from one lifetime to the next. That's why we do that, just to sort of reconnecting. Hey, I'm here. I'm over here. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever had that kind of experience?
Oh, yeah, I've had that experience quite a number of times in my life, and I do believe in that aspect of reincarnation for sure, but I also have seen something really interesting in terms of that with the people that we are attracted to who kind of stick around, then I've seen that there's something to really learn and grow from in that relationship. But I've also watched, as I've been doing this process with people now for a while, that when there are people who just kind of spark with us and kind of like resonate with us, and they might not stick around too much. I've had the good fortune of knowing some people's soul's agendas that's happened with, then they're usually pretty similar actually to our own. And it's this wonderful recognition of our energy being expressed in the world and other people. When we spark like that and meet like that and have that recognition like that, I've found it kind of fascinating. There are different, with, you know, specifically with the soul agenda work, there are different kinds of energies that people embody. They're the kind of energies that are very fiery and passionate. They're the kind of energies that are more loving and accepting. There are kind of energies that are more about adventure. And so I think it's kind of fascinating when somebody else just kind of pops into our experience like that. For me, in my work, in my understanding of life, my journey, I often just smirk to myself and think, there's another person who's about being alive and being vibrant, because that's what my soul agenda word is, to be alive. And so when I kind of spark with somebody and have that recognition, it's I smirk to myself like, there's another person who's here to help inspire people in their vibrancy and aliveness too.
Well, I know that I try to keep an open mind to people who come into my life, and even those that, you know, initially I look at and I'm going, I don't know, these people, and we run across here in our town. I don't know about you and yours, but I'm pretty sure it's the same pretty much everywhere across this country in particular, as well as maybe even around the world, the folks who have no homes, the homeless.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. But at the same time, you know, you don't know who they are. You don't know their story, and you're never going to unless you make contact with them in some fashion. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is just a wonderful form of compassion, even if that's all you do is allow them to share their story, if there's someone that is able to do so. Because I know there are a lot of folks out on the streets that they're not all here, you know, and that's unfortunate as well, that they aren't able to get the help, or they don't get the help, I should say, that they so richly deserve. Find your soul's agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. Anna Anderson's my guest here on the program. When that's what we're talking about, you can go to AnnaAnderson.com to find out more. FindYourSoulsAgenda.com as well. But the first email address will take you to the second. If you go to Anna Anderson, it will take you to Find Your Soul's Agenda. And again, that's .com. Anna, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program. And if you should ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. This is fascinating, and the work that you're doing. You hold workshops as well. You have a couple of facilitators. Well, actually, I guess four of you in particular, you and your husband and two other gals, who facilitate workshops in this area, right?
Yeah, that's right. We have a growing number of facilitators. Actually, I was just talking to five other people who are getting listed on our website today. So,
oh, great.
It's growing.
Well, that's
growing
fantastic.
Globally.
Yeah. How long are these workshops usually?
Well, it depends, because we do this work in different areas, but a lot of people, to be honest with you, go right for becoming a Soul Agenda facilitator, because it gives them the opportunity to learn the work more in depth. So, you know, those are a three-part process that are about 15 hours. And some people just take our book club, which is an audio program that they can take and learn about this information more in depth as well.
Mm. And they can find out about that, of course, at your website as well. And we encourage people to go there. I have three final questions for you as we wrap up this program. And again, my thanks to you for taking so much time to share with us here on the program. The first question is, who is Anna Anderson?
Boy, that's a great question. Ani is a person who really is very inquisitive about life, loves to toss that around. I really care deeply about people, and I am a major hermit homebody. I love my quietude. So on, you know, one hand, you can find me out there, and on the other hand, you can find me way inside.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
It's really about helping people and the world coming to a place of less self-violence. I believe that if we have less self-violence, we're going to see the reflection of less violence in the world. One of the causes that really is very dear to my heart is the human trafficking cause. And so that's just an example of some of the violence that we see in the world. I think that this work has the capacity to cause major ripple effects in terms of external violence.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
My purpose is to be alive and inspire other people to understand why they are alive. That's my sole agenda anyway.
Anya Anderson, thank you again for joining us here on the program. This has been, again, extraordinary, and I've really enjoyed this. And hopefully maybe we'll get you and your husband on the program together to dialogue about all of this and the collaboration that the two of you have put together in this process of finding, helping people to find their soul's agenda.
Thanks so much, Richard. This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. Great scavenger hunt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Folks, the scavenger hunt isn't over. You can continue if you will go to AniaAnderson.com. Find Your Soul's Agenda is the title of the book, and it'll help you to find the one word that will make your whole life a success. Maybe go to the website and download that free workbook. It'd be kind of fun to do and begin the process and touch base with Ani and let her know how things are progressing. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.